Welcome to Eastside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the Lord speaks to you through this message. If you have any ways that we could minister to you or any prayer requests, please contact us at ebckro@gmail.com or 229-377-4154. Now let's tune into the message.
Joshua 24 is the end of the book of Joshua. Old Testament. In case you're not familiar with what's going on in this part of the Bible, God, before this, raised up a people, starting with Abraham. Told him and promised him that he would make his descendants great, and they would become a great nation, and they would be extremely numerous. And this is several years down the road from that promise. Those people, Abraham's descendants, have been through a lot. God has brought them through a lot. God has done a lot before their eyes to prove to them who He is. And one of the chief promises of those things that He told Abraham was He would bring him into a land, a promised land that He would give to His people. It would be theirs. And God has done that. Under the leadership of Joshua. And they have gone into this land and following the Lord's leadership, have gone in and conquered the land, and they're in the midst of making it home. And they come to the place where they're finally there. They finally have control of the land. And we're at the end of the book of Joshua. And Joshua gathers the people and, led by the Holy Spirit, leads them to refresh their allegiance to their God. And that is where we find ourselves in the book of Joshua this morning. And the reason we're going to start here in August is this. I think if we want to be refreshed spiritually, one of the things we need to commit to do is refresh our allegiance to the Lord. And this passage this morning will lead us to do that. So, are you ready to dig in? All right. Verse 14, we're going to read down to verse 28. Follow along in your copy of God's Word as I read. This is Joshua speaking to all of God's people. Verse 14, Joshua 24. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we will serve the Lord, for He is our God. But Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then He will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done good to you. Verse 21. And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve Him. And they said, we are witnesses. He said, then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your heart to the Lord and the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and His voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and put in place statutes and rules for them at Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and set it up there under the terebinth that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, "Behold, this stone shall be a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord that he spoke to us. Therefore, it shall be a witness against you, lest you deal falsely with your God." So Joshua sent the people away, and every man to his inheritance. Amen. So we're going to look at three pieces of truth this morning, kind of in order, with the third one kind of pointing us in the direction we should go from here today. And so the kind of the question I want us to ask this morning is, how did these people go about, how did the Lord go about bringing these people to refreshment in Him? And the first thing we see is He refreshed their allegiance to Himself. And in order to do that, to refresh their allegiance, they remember God's grace in their lives. And that's our first piece of truth this morning. To refresh our allegiance, we remember God's grace in our lives. Now look at verse 14. Where this conversation between Joshua and the people really continues. It's not where it begins. He starts off and he says, "Now therefore." So he said something previous to this whole conversation he's had about them committing to serve the Lord and serve Him only. And what he said is in verses 1 through 13. He's pointing back to what he's just said, and what he says in these verses is what God has done for them previously to this day. Look at verses 1 through 4. It says, "Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads and judges, and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, 'Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago,'" so he's causing them to remember what God has done. Verse 2, "Long ago, your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, Terah, the father of Abraham and of Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. I gave him Isaac, and I gave Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave Esau the hill country of Seir to possess. But Jacob and his children went down to Egypt, and I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt with what I did in the midst of it. And afterward, I brought you out." So right here, God is speaking through Joshua, and look at what he's bringing up. He's bringing up history, not of what God's people have done, but what God has done for his people. The way that he has shown them grace. In other words, the way he has shown them love that they did not deserve and did not earn. He starts off with Abraham, who Abraham and his family worshipped other gods. God plugged him up, introduced himself to Abraham, and Abraham began to worship God. And Abraham's family turned into this nation of Israel. God says, "I brought Abraham out of this idol-worshipping family. I brought him into the land of Canaan. I gave him descendants. His descendants wound up in Egypt as slaves, and I rescued them out of Egypt." So that's Exodus. The first several chapters of Exodus, where God rescues his people from the hand of Pharaoh. You guys with me? So he's reviewing what he's done. God's people at no point deserved this grace and this love of God, but God continued just to pour out his grace on them, show them his favor. Give them his grace. And Joshua is telling them this so that they will remember what God has done for them. You continue to read verses 5 through 7. You see, God rescued his people out of Egypt and provided them, even after that, in the desert. Miracle after miracle. If you read through the account of Exodus and Numbers, miracle after miracle after miracle, where God provides for his people, even when his people are obstinate and disobedient. Verses 8 through 12, we see God conquered the land that they're standing in with Joshua presently. He brought them into the land. He didn't say, "Hey, if you can conquer it, it's yours." No, he said, "I will conquer it for you." And he led them into the land. community by community, giving them the land. Houses they didn't build. Vineyards they didn't plant. And there they are standing. And Joshua is reviewing all this, the grace that God has shown them. So in order to refresh their allegiance to the Lord, they needed to remember the Lord's grace in their lives. You with me? Do you see that in the Word? So this is an easy connection for us. If we need refreshment, we need to refresh our allegiance to the Lord. And in order to do that, the starting place is remembering what God has done for me and for you. We can start with the cross. His Son Jesus, perfect, put on flesh, lived a perfect life in spite of all the opposition, in spite of all the attempts to bait him into sin, he lived sinlessly. And then he went on the cross for me and you in our place to die a death that we were supposed to die, paying the debt that we owed. Died, breathed his last breath, his brain stopped firing off neurons and all that stuff that the brains do, right? Medical professionals can correct me on that later. But he was dead because of our sin. And 3 days later, God the Father rose up, God the Son, out of the grave so that we could trust Him and have eternal life. Not because of anything we've done, but because of everything Jesus did and the God the Father's love for us. That is grace. Undeserved love. We start there. And then you as an individual and I as an individual, we can account for the grace in our lives. I can account, personally, I can account that I was raised in a family with a father and mother who loved Jesus. And I remember them praying. I remember them taking me to church. I remember them being the people that I went to and said, I feel like I want to place my faith in Jesus. Grace in my life. I can remember my call to ministry and going to my father and not knowing the response he was going to give me and him saying, son, I will support you no matter what you do. If this is the way the Lord's leading you, I will support it. And he has told me, I can't tell you how many times he's told me that, my whole adult life since then. Grace upon grace upon grace. I can talk about my wife and how she encouraged me in my faith and sharpens me and makes me more like Jesus. Grace upon grace upon grace in my life. And you can too. You can look at your life and you can account for how the Lord brought your attention to the cross. Maybe it was your parents. Maybe you weren't raised in a Christian home. Maybe it was someone else. You can account for how the Lord's placed people in your lives to make you more like Him and encourage you in your faith since that day. Some of you can account for physical miracles in your life. Some of you can account for peace in the midst of unimaginable storms that only God can bring. Grace upon grace upon grace. If we want to refresh our allegiance to our Lord, remember that. Remember that. Account for the cross and the gift that that is to you. Account for all the pieces of grace the Lord just pours out onto you in your life in recent days and years and weeks, today. Account for that. Not only did they remember God's grace in their lives, as they remembered that, they also remembered the impotence of the gods they used to worship. Look at verses 14 and 15. Joshua continues his conversation in the passage that we read. He says this. He says, put away the gods, in verse 14, halfway through, put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Now, let's think about this for a second. Joshua is challenging the people. He's saying, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm encouraging you to serve the Lord. But if you find this to be evil or bad in your sight, then choose who you're going to serve. Are you going to serve the old gods that Abraham's family used to serve? That God proved himself to in front of and brought Abraham. Abraham chose to leave those gods and serve the one true God. Or maybe you'll serve the gods of Egypt. If you read the account of the Exodus in the first 10 or 12 chapters of Exodus, you'll see God pour out 10 plagues upon the Egyptians. With every plague, God is proving one of the little g gods that the Egyptians worshipped worthless. Every plague, the frogs, the flies, the boils, all of the gods that they worshipped. By the time God got done with the plagues, the sun god, when the sky went dark, by the time God got done with the plagues, God had proved all of their little g gods absolutely worthless. Joshua says, what about the gods of the Amorites in the land who you dwell in now? You remember those gods, the gods that our God conquered their people on your behalf? They worshiped those gods hoping that those gods would lead their armies and give their armies victory. And our God has given us their land. So you can worship those gods if you want. They're powerless just like the gods in Egypt. So choose whom you will serve this day. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua, led by the Holy Spirit, said, remember the grace God has shown you, and part of the grace God has shown you is showing you the impotence of the gods you used to serve. Some of us here today, in refreshing our allegiance to the Lord, need to remember the numerous gifts that God has given us in our lives, most especially the cross, but we need to remember how He proved to us that He was worthy of our trust by proving to us that the idols that we worshipped and the things we chose to give our lives to were worthless. Whether it was a job or money or some kind of addiction that we sought solace in, proved worthless when compared to Jesus. So I want to encourage you to think about something. Maybe that was never part of your life, but it would have been had Jesus not saved you. Maybe it was part of your life, and when Jesus saved you, Jesus brought you out of that. And today, you can remember, as you remember God's grace in your life, you can remember the worthlessness of the things that you used to worship and perhaps still are tempted to worship. That's what Joshua led the people to do. Remember those things. You can worship them now if you want to. I'll serve the Lord. The people remember God's grace, His gift to them. They remember God's grace and Him showing that their gods, their little g gods, were absolutely worthless. When I ask you a question, I'm going to answer it out loud. Don't answer it out loud. But do you need spiritual refreshing this morning? Are you in a season where you've lost your hunger to see the glory of the Lord in your own heart and in your family's hearts? Are you in a season where you have lost your hunger for God's Word? Like you just have no desire to open up and read it. Is that where you are today? I want to challenge you to start here. Remember the grace of God in your life. We do this. We do this with our country. We refresh our allegiance to our country. It's why we teach our children to say the Pledge of Allegiance at the beginning of their days in school, right? They're pledging their allegiance freshly every day to their country. We do this with our sports teams, right? That's why at the beginning of the games, when you go to the stadium, these teams have these huge screens. And they're to show you replay, but like the other 50% of what they do is to refresh everybody's allegiance to that team by showing past highlights. So before the game, the band plays, and then the stadium gets quiet, and the music starts, and everybody turns their attention to the screen, and they show highlights for some teams from the 80s. Other teams from the 2000s. You guys with me? Okay, so we refresh our allegiance even to our sports teams. We do it even to our sports teams. So I want to say something. Like, spiritually, we need to do that too. Even if we think we don't, we do. It is a good habit to do this. So I want to encourage you, take time today, take time this week and the days ahead. Purposely set time aside to remember. Write it down if you have to. Say it out loud, whatever you need to do, to remember the things God has done for you. So that your allegiance to Him can be refreshed. You with me so far? All right, let's keep moving. So we remember God's grace in our lives, but we also need to clean out our spiritual closets. Look at verses 19 through 24. We got to move quickly, so just hang tight. But Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then He will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good." And the people said to Joshua, "No, but we will serve the Lord." And look at verse 22. Look at it. Then Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve Him." And they said, "We are witnesses." He said, "Then." As if, okay, you're witnesses. You said this. You said over and over again, you will serve the Lord. Then, verse 23, "Put away the foreign gods that are among you." Now take note of this, church. Take note of this. These people have seen miracle after miracle after miracle by God. They have come and gathered themselves together under the leadership of Joshua, who's being led by the Holy Spirit, to refresh their allegiance to the Lord. And what is still in their homes? Idols of foreign gods that they once worshipped. Why? Why are they still there? Is it because just in case God doesn't pull through in time? Or maybe He's not moving on their timetable? Maybe they will offer something up to the little wooden thing in their closet? Maybe it offers them comfort. Maybe they never offer anything up to Him, but it's just comfort that that part of their history is still part of their present. Their children are seeing it. What's this? Why is this in our house? Well, our family worshipped that. Worshipped or worships. Still in their homes. We will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Joshua finally says, "Then get them out of your house." They could have had a good church service that day. Joshua could have ended it. Like, great, you're going to serve the Lord, I'm going to serve the Lord, let's go. But they would have gone home to idols. They would have felt good about their time together. Would have had a good time together, talked about it, how all the people spoke together. We will serve the Lord. We are witnesses. And then Joshua had to go talking about their closets. And that's not a good church service, is it? That's a comfortable church service. A good church service is where the Lord rids us of things that aren't supposed to be there and makes us more like Himself. Some of us need refreshment this morning because we still have stuff in our spiritual closets that needs to be thrown out. I don't know what it is for you. I was talking to Dustin this morning. I was like, I don't feel like the Lord's leading me to be specific and name things that you might need to get out of your life. I might need to get out of my life because I feel like the Holy Spirit will do that. But here's the deal. The people came and worshiped him, served him, followed him into the promised land, and still had stuff in their closets that they had worshiped or were worshiping. And some of us here today, as God's children, covered by his blood, still have stuff in our lives that we need to repent of and get out of our lives. Maybe that's you today. Maybe that's you today. Praise God if it is, that in his grace, he is showing you that. He is better. You don't need anything as your backup. You don't need anything else in your life for joy and happiness and fulfillment and purpose in your life other than him. Perhaps that's what he's showing you. Perhaps this week you need to take some time to identify what those things are, confess those things, and get rid of those things. Maybe it's habits. Maybe it's actual stuff. Maybe it's people or places. I don't know. I got a feeling you do. And I got a feeling that the Holy Spirit is showing you that. Me too. Goodness knows, me too. And finally, we see that as he brought them to a close, Joshua didn't just say, get stuff out of your houses. He actually aimed the people's hearts to refresh our allegiance. We clean out our spiritual closets. We remember God's grace in our lives. And we aim our hearts towards him. Look at the last couple of verses here. Verse 24, it says, and the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God, we will serve, and his voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and put in place statutes and rules for them at Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and set it up there under the terebinth that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord that he spoke to us. Therefore, it shall be a witness against you, lest you deal falsely with your God. Notice verse 28. So Joshua sent the people away, every man to his inheritance. Notice their worship at this place had just begun. Their worship was to go home and rid their homes out. Clean their homes out of stuff that didn't belong there. They aimed their hearts with the covenant, promise to the Lord, reminders, setting up a stone before the Lord. Verse 23, Joshua says, put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your heart to the Lord. So I want to suggest to you this morning that as a Christian, the Lord may be getting you back on the road this morning. You may have been like driving in the ditch, or maybe just riding the little bumpy things. And he's getting you back between the lines. And the aiming your heart is going home and keeping your hands on the wheel and your eye on the road. We can get back on the road, and if we take our hands off the wheel, we'll just swerve right back off. And so this morning, our work begins here. But the bulk of it is at home. They set up a stone to remember what they did. I want to ask you, I don't usually do this, but I want to ask you bow your heads this morning. And I just want to ask you to listen to me, because as I said earlier, we've come from different circumstances. Some of you are here and you remember the time in your life when the Lord plucked you up out of sin, and then perhaps the same day or later on in your life, completely rid your closets of things that you used to worship. And today you sit in your pew completely free of those things. Now, if that's the case today, I want to encourage you and say, then your response to the Lord is simply to praise his name and pray for those who aren't there yet. Maybe you're here this morning and you are the Lord's. You have come to a place of faith in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. The Lord has continued to show you grace in your life since that day, but you still have stuff in your life that does not belong there. You're a Christian. You have committed to serve the Lord. But like these people, you need to go home and clean out your house. If that's you today, I want to encourage you. God loves you. If He's pointing that out in your heart today, it's because He loves you and because He will help you do that. If that's you today, I want to encourage you to just pray. Ask the Lord for strength and for wisdom in doing this in your life. You can come, you can set up a stone today in your life by coming forward and praying at the altar. There will be people to come pray with you. And just say, this is the day where I'm not just going to commit to serve the Lord, but I'm going to go home and aim my heart towards Him. Some of you are here today and you've yet to commit your life to Jesus. You've heard about Him. You've gone to church here and there, but you've yet to give your life to the one true God. And I just want to tell you, you will find no other God that is worthy of your worship. There is no one else that is worthy of your life, and no one else that will love you like He does. You can place your faith in Him alone today, and today can be the day of salvation for you. So the question is, how do you need to respond? Where are you today? However the Spirit's leading you to respond today, know that the response is not over today. If you need to give your life to the Lord, you can come forward or you can find me or Pastor Robbie after the service and talk with us and we'll walk you through the Word. If you just need to lay down some idols today, you can do that. If you just need to say, Lord, show me where I'm at in this stuff, you can do that. But however the Spirit's leading you to respond, I want to encourage you to respond. Let's pray. Father, we do love You. And Lord, like the people that we see in Joshua 24, we want to serve You. We want to say like Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And Lord, we know that that work that You have to do in our lives to make that happen just begins here. And so, Lord, I pray for the people that need to set up a stone today and say, this is the day where things change in my life. The Lord has me, I am His, but I still have stuff in my life that is not supposed to be there. So today's the day where I give all of that stuff to Him. I pray that they would. And I pray that You would lead with Your Spirit, Lord. Pray if there's anybody here that has said, I've been spending my life worshiping other things, seeking pleasure and fulfillment in other things and in other ways, and I finally see today Jesus is the only one who can bring me those things, and I want to place my faith in Him. God, I pray that You would bring new life there. Lord, above everything, I pray that You and You alone would be glorified by our response today. In Your holy name we pray. Amen.
Hello, my name is Andrew Donaldson, and I am the pastor here at Eastside Baptist in Cairo, and I want to thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. If the Lord is working in your life and you have questions about anything you have heard, or you have questions about what it means to trust and follow Jesus, we want to connect with you and pray for you, and walk with you through God's Word to answer your questions. The best way to do that is by clicking on the contact link at the top of our webpage. There you will find our phone number, 229-377-4154, and our email address, ebccairo@gmail.com. Thanks again, and we hope you have a wonderful day.